Dog in the Beam! Max starts! Yeah, Max! Respect! Super Bowl 43! Respect! Winning Super Bowl 43! What are you doing back, you dirtbag?
Your Pantera call-out is driven by AutoNation. They got 13 dealerships in the Valley, 100,000 new and pre-owned vehicles at AutoNation.com. Find out what you're looking for today.
Hello, friends. Bracket Boss 2019. Pros versus hosts.
Max Starks has just called in. He's on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. And Max, I'm holding your bracket in my hand right now. And it leads me to one major question, and that is, do you care?
I will answer that, Doug, and say, yes, I'm a competitor.
I see.
And even though Wolf has called me out for being a Super Bowl winning champion, I plan on being a bracket winning champion. This year as well, to add to my resume.
Now, wait a minute. Are you in town, Max? Are you in town right now?
I am in town, sir.
Okay.
I am.
Why are you not here?
This is
because it's a 40-minute drive, and I'm like, oh, I'm only gonna be off for one.
Hey, listen, Max. Like... Max, don't tell me about the storm. Just bring the ship in.
If you are, as I hold Max's bracket here, he does have, the Michigan State Duke game is going to be a tough pick, and he's got Michigan State winning it all, so he's got Michigan State over Duke. He does have a one seed in the Final Four. He's got Gonzaga, and you could understand if you chose the other number one seeds to lose, to get out. Except he doesn't have the number one seeds making it out of the weekend on the right side of your bracket. Ole Miss over Virginia and Utah State over North Carolina.
Virginia's going to win the whole thing, Max. How could you have that?
I can't pick Cavaliers. Knowing their history against 16-1s, I don't feel confident. I don't feel confident at all.
He's got Liberty and Yale in the Sweet 16, Nevada over Buffalo from the Sweet 16 to the Elite Eight. I mean, either you are going to absolutely dominate the bracket boss and embarrass all of us, or you might have Child Protective Services come in and take your kids because this is such a horrible bracket.
That's known as hyperbole.
Right. Hey, listen, I learned from a great philosopher from a long time ago, and his quote was, no risk it, no biscuit.
I see.
So, all right, Max, many games do you watch? That's what I want to know. I've been asking everybody that has come on. I just want to know how many games you watch. Do you sit on the couch all day and just absorb this stuff?
I will have three games on as much as possible, throughout
the day. What do you mean three games? Throughout the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, throughout the day that I will, highly watch, and then the rest of them kind of be on in the background as I move about my day or as I'm driving, running my errands. I'll keep games on the radio as well, because Westwood One does a great job of covering all of them. So I'll be switching in between, but I'm highly invested. I wish I was in Vegas right now, which was a tradition a long time ago before I had kids, where I would go to Vegas for this weekend.
Yes,
but I've matured. I've grown past that.
Boy, we're happy to hear that.
I do my brackets. I do my brackets and go to my man cave when I can.
Max Starks joining Doug and Wolf this morning as usually our co-host for Maximum Football. And do you want to say anything to ASU fans since you have their dream dying tomorrow and you just mock them with your pick of Buffalo?
Listen, it's tough. Listen, I'm happy they got in.
Yeah.
First time in 10 years, they are in the dance, but I've also seen my Gators go down to Butler.
Yes,
in consecutive years in the first round. So no. I temper the emotions. Next year will probably be a better year, but there was just way too much inconsistency for me to have a lot of faith that they would be able to make a run in the tournament, you know, late or at least throughout the weekend. So I had to go with the conscious pick. I know Buffalo's been playing, you know, very good basketball throughout the year, so I had to kind of go with a logical pick there. But then, of course, you know, I got some illogical picks elsewhere.
Oh, yeah. Max, how did you do last year, by the way?
Last year, I went down in a flaming pile of poo-poo.
If memory serves, though, you had a crappy first weekend and then came storming back with like 900 points on the championship game or something.
Yeah. No, I definitely did horrible with more games. You know, it's like anything else. When you don't have rules, which is like the first weekend where there's so many games, you get kind of like a little bit of ADD. But the second week, when you have less choices to go with, the better I get. So
this is
I'll go law of averages.
This is Max Stark, Super Bowl champion, joining Doug and Wolf, co-host of Maximum Football. You can't get into it now because the games are getting ready to start. But our Bracket Boss Challenge is the hosts against all the other professionals. And what's funny about it is Wolf doesn't like it because he considers himself a pro. But pros versus hosts, and yet Wolf is on the host side of things now. But I want to go football with you. Has anything happened in Alabama with Quinnen Williams Pro Day? Anything happened at Ohio State with Haskins, and even though Bosa didn't do much, the things he did do have blown people away. Has anything happened in the last 2 days that you think would stop the Cardinals from drafting Kyler Murray?
You know, I mean, I have to believe after the meeting with Cliff Kingsbury, I'm sure there was a lot more that was divulged. I mean, the biggest thing that I was concerned with Kyler Murray was when he didn't, you know, he didn't do his height.
Right.
That was the one thing that was a big question mark. But I felt Dwayne Haskins had such a great pro day. You know, and Quinnen Williams is Quinnen Williams. So I don't know if that deterred from them, but I felt like those guys did enough solidly that you'd have a conundrum if they have to pick number one with Kyler Murray, because I think both Haskins and both Williams had fantastic days that make that decision a lot harder. It's not as clear cut for Kyler Murray as we probably thought leaving the combine.
Yes or no answer. Did you talk to Marcus Gilbert yet about being a Cardinal?
Oh, yeah. As soon as he was traded.
Okay. How's he feel about it?
Gilly and I, he loves it. He's excited. You know, he flew out here. He met with Cliff, and they had a great conversation. He feels reinvigorated. He loves the fresh start. And he's looking forward to getting back out here for off-season workouts. And I'll see him once he gets back in. We'll go grab something to eat and, you know, kind of give him the lay of the land and, you know, see what he's up to.
That's awesome, Max. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks, Max.
My pleasure, guys. Y'all take care. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. You need
too,
it.
Big guy.
Yeah. Max Stark's joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Automotive wants to make an announcement that they did not pick Liberty and Yale and Old Dominion in the Sweet 16. You can go to Coulter Cadillac Buick GMC Nissan and Infiniti for your next new or pre-owned car. Max Stark's did make those picks. Bobby Hurley, how far do you have ASU going? Let's ask him next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The expanded NCAA tournament started in 1985, and ASU has never been to back-to-back tournaments in that time. Bobby Hurley helped lead them there, and now he's out of Dayton with a win, headed to Tulsa to take on Buffalo as he joins us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Bobby, if you don't mind, give us a little bit, before we can talk about the game, give us a little bit of the itinerary. When did you leave Dayton? When did you get into Oklahoma? What have you been doing the last 6 hours? And what's next on your agenda when you hang up?
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. We've graduated from Dayton, so that's a great it was a great moment.
Hey, so did my wife. That's nice.
Night.
Yeah.
And, you know, but there are a lot of responsibilities, you know, media-wise, after the game, and then, you know, we had a set time that our plane was leaving last night, which was 2 a.m. So we got in here into the hotel at about 4:30. So, you know, I kind of feel like I'm playing in the NBA again on a back-to-back or something, just, you know, flying in the middle of the night. I can imagine what, you know, the players feel like this morning. I'm heading to breakfast here shortly. and I'm just going to see what the team looks like. But I know they were very excited when we got off the bus last night. Mm.
Bobby, this is your first tournament win with the Devils, of course, and the first tournament win of the Devils in a decade. How's it feel? How are you feeling right now?
I mean, I felt very good during the game. I felt like, you know, at about 20 different times that we had won the game, you know, and then we might do something a little bit, you know, uncharacteristic in the second half, you know, with handling their pressure. So we, you know, have to do a better job of that. And, you know, continuing to try and get Remy to 100% is going to be key, you know, in that department because, you know, Buffalo is going to, you know, their guards are really, really good, and had a chance to watch a couple of their games last night on the plane. And, you know, I followed them this year, and they could really pressure the ball. So, you know, our guards playing at an elite level is going to be, you know, a key thing going into tomorrow's game.
Bobby, I admit, as much of a fan as I am of ASU and you personally, if you told me before the game you're going to turn the ball over 21 times and get out-rebounded by a team that's not a great rebounding team when you are a great rebounding team and the entire game could be based on the free throw line, I'm going to Vegas and putting it all on St. John's. That is just not normal to win a game like that. What did it tell you? Because, you know, there's sometimes when you're down by 10 at halftime and you've played terrible and you look at it as a positive, you know? You tell your kids, hey, we played terrible and look, it's not that bad. We're right in this. How did you feel when you looked at the stats of this game?
Yeah, I just thought we played, you know, superb first half. And then the second half, you know, we had built the lead and, you know, their team is, they got a lot of veteran players, been a lot of good games, and, you know, they have good athletes and they didn't quit. You know, they were desperate. They pressed us. They really anticipated well, and they made some really good plays on defense. As far as the rebounding goes, I thought we did such a good job at guarding them and giving great energy, making them, you know, miss and contest shots. And there were a lot of long rebounds. They took 31 threes, so we didn't quite get all of those, you know, long ones we need to get in terms of the rebounding part. And, you know, the free throws are just, you know, it's great that the guys, that's the one thing we did down the stretch in the clutch times to keep the separation in the game. We needed Zion, stepped up, Lou. Those guys made big free throws. And, you know, the last thing was I thought that we got solid contributions from, like, every player, which is, you know, really good. I mean, Lou had a special game, and Z had a double-double, but, you know, just about everyone had, like, 5 to 8 points in the game. So, you know, we got good contributions from our entire team.
So, Bobby, how did Remy come out of that game? How did he come through that game? And give us a little bit of what we might be able to expect from him on Friday.
I think he'll move forward off of this game. I mean, it's, you know, Remy is fierce, a fierce competitor, and he's, you know, he's like, you know, when I played, I just wanted to feel like myself and to be able to do absolutely everything that I'm capable of. And I'm not sure if he's quite there. I mean, he's telling me he's good, but you know, we have more time now to hopefully inch closer to that point. He's just got to learn how to be effective. Would maybe slightly not being exactly the way he would want to be.
So he didn't retweak it at all, the groin?
No, he did nothing like that. He said he felt great, and, you know, he was walking fine after. And, you know, we'll meet up with him this morning and just see how he's feeling today, because that's always an important thing that they follow, and, you know, that type of workout.
Coach Hurley joining us despite getting into the hotel at 4 in the morning in Oklahoma. It'll be 3 o'clock tomorrow, his time in Oklahoma. It's 1 o'clock here Friday. We've got the game. Kyle and Tim will be on the play-by-play here on Arizona Sports, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Bobby, same question as Wolf, different player. I know that Lou came right back into the game a little bit later, but did anything tighten up on the plane? That was such a tough fall. How's Lou Dort doing?
Yeah, it was, you know, just my heart stopped. It was, you know, and it's mainly not for ASU basketball to advance in that particular game. It's Lou and the future that he has in front of him, and just it could have been a lot worse, and we're just very thankful that it's really minor. And I think he was just shaken up, obviously, as high as he was off the floor to be undercut like that, and we're just lucky he landed right. And sure he's a little sore from that type of impact, but he's got so much muscle surrounding every part of his body that I think that cushioned the fall a little bit.
You know, Bobby, everyone's talking about you going against your old program, of course, the Bulls, right? And you going against your old assistant in Nate Oates. Are they making too much of that?
I mean, I think so. I mean, I know that Nate is, knowing Nate like I do, is just concentrate on breaking film down like I am and figuring out what the best plan of action is for this entire day so that we, and from our standpoint, we get the recovery that we need so that we're able to exert maximum effort tomorrow. And it's just, it's going to be a very mental day for us just to watch film and get a chance to get a feel for Buffalo. And then, my responsibility is to not get caught up in the emotion of going against a friend, someone I respect and a place that I have good memories with in my time at Buffalo. It's more for me is like the guys that I go to war with and getting them ready to try and advance in the tournament.
Do you run a lot of the same things that you did while you were there when he was your assistant?
I mean, I see a couple of things. Nate's got his own ideas. He's a great coach, and he had great ideas when I was the head coach. He always talked about trying this or trying that, and so he's very creative, and he has his own things that he does, and we'll look at that today as we get together as a group and go over.
Bobby, what did it mean to you to have your brother Dan there?
Yeah, it was great because Dan is in the place that I was after my first year at Arizona State, just running around and recruiting. And as the season ends, you don't really have a recovery time. And he's been on the road quite a bit trying to build that program up. And for him to take that amount of time out of his schedule to come see me, it meant a lot.
Mm-hmm. Bobby, there's two, you're technical late in the half. There's two ways to look at it. One, you're up by 15. A coach can't get a technical. The other thing is nobody should be given a technical when we clearly saw on the replay, you ask, what did he do? And you got a technical for it. What did you have a conversation with the referee at halftime or after the game? Did anybody come up to you and say, okay, maybe we should recant and not give you a technical when you ask, what did he do?
Yeah, I mean, what's done is done, and I'm not going to comment on it because my wife doesn't want me to get fined again, so I'm not going to say anything about it. But I will say that I spoke with the official briefly, and I just asked him, are we good, as we started the second half, and we both agreed that we were, so we just moved on from it.
Congratulations all the way, especially the gutsy decision to go a lot more zone than you normally do. That's great coaching against St. John's. Congratulations. Good luck on Friday.
Appreciate it, guys. Great being with you as always.
Absolutely.
Dancing, brother.
That's a cool way to put it, Wolf. Bobby Hurley joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. You can go to Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti for your next new or pre-owned car. And a special shout out as well to ASU Media Relations and Doug Tamaro to set that up because I've heard through the grapevine the coaches hardly went to sleep. They immediately started. What do they have to do today? They got to practice and put in the game plan for Buffalo. Well, when do you put in the game plan or when do you make the game plan? You had to make it on the plane and all night last night.
That was awesome.
So really cool of Bobby to take a second and call us before breakfast. Coming up next, an Arizona Cardinal quarterback on his Final Four and Kyler Murray. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Hello, friends. Bracket Boss 2019. Pros versus hosts.
We're so happy that he said yes. Hopefully the family isn't staring him down saying, Dad, you're on vacation. What's going on?
You're in Bowie.
But Carson Palmer has agreed to call into the Coulter Automotive Group sports line to talk about the Bracket Boss Challenge. And Carson, do you have anything to say to Wolf that it's hosts, it's pros versus hosts, but Wolf's not considered a pro anymore. He's so far removed. While we have a bunch of young former athletes, and Wolf's been dismissed from the club. Does he deserve it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He crossed the line. He's on the other side now.
Appreciate that, Carson. Listen, how's the weather in Maui? Nice, I would imagine, right?
It is. It's beautiful. The sun is out. It's shining. There's no rain. So it is fantastic.
Wonderful, brother.
Let's talk trash about Carson's bracket right now, Bear, if you would, because it's kind of ugly on one side.
Now it's time for Carson Palmer's One Shining Moment.
You look at the left side of Carson's bracket, and it's all chalk. It's crazy. His most adventurous pick is a 7-10 upset. And then you look at the right side of his bracket. Carson, I have to ask, were you sober when you filled out the right side of your bracket?
I was, but we were on our way to Hawaii, and I had like a four-hour layover on Honolulu, and I had got the first half done on the plane. And then I got off the plane, we're wrangling kids together and getting bags, and find out that the one trip from Honolulu to Lanai was canceled, so I was pissed off. I started picking off like 12 seeds. I think I have Oregon going to the Elite Eight, which is crazy.
Oregon in the Elite Eight and Nova and Ohio State in the Final Four. I mean, Carson, blame the airline.
It looks terrible right now, but I could be a genius in about 10 days.
You know what? Now think about this, Carson. Do you use a metric? Is there anything? What do you use to fill it out, or is it just a gut feeling you have?
Just gut. I mean, I wish I paid attention more to college basketball, but as soon as I realized SC wasn't any good and wasn't really going to be in it, I lost focus and wasn't watching it. So, you know, it's just like, you know, it's like going to a horse race with your wife and she picks the horse with the coolest name. I was kind of going off of that vibe when I was picking that second half of the bracket.
When's the last time you've thrown a football, Carson?
Oh, yesterday on the beach all day. Remember the old Nerf turbos?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the old Nerf turbos? Yeah, chucking those things up and down the beach.
Did anyone recognize you at all? I mean, honestly, did anyone say, man, that's Carson throwing the football?
Not really. I mean, a lot of the staff at the hotel maybe, but no guests yet.
Look, you're not walking around in the European thong. I mean, you're not walking around
not
like that, are you?
It's not a thong.
It's not a thong. I mean, you're not walking around in a Speedo, are you?
It's a Brazilian bikini butt.
Stop it. No, it is not. You're not doing
it's
that.
Bright yellow. It's bright yellow, and I've got my puka shells on.
You know exactly the guy I'm talking about, don't you, Carson? You know the guy that's walking down the beach from Norway.
They're on Waikiki, though. They're not on Maui. You're safe in Maui for the most part.
No,
I'm not on Waikiki. I'm on Lanai, where there's a ton of dudes in banana hammocks.
They're Europeans immediately. I'm just telling you right now.
There's no doubt.
From the Baltic states.
Do you hide your kids from it, or do you mock them with them?
No, I mean, I'm not. You know, we're not making fun. I'm you know, smirking under my breath, and I'm seeing kind of some weird looks from my daughters going, what is that guy? What's wrong with that guy?
You know,
we're not making fun. Hey, to each their own, right?
Yeah, Carson, I love going because, you just walk around, and you can, hey, for all they know, I'm Franz from, Germany.
It's an eclectic group, and we're having a blast.
Okay, before we send you back to the family, one football question. When you look at Josh Rosen, do you say, man, don't touch Kyler Murray, give this kid a break, or are you more on the side of, how can you pass up Kyler Murray?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to end up taking him. You know, when you have the first pick, you got to take the best player available, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter who you've taken most recently or how much you like a guy. If you've got the best player in the draft and you've got the number one pick right there in front of you, I think you have to take it, because if you don't, and he turns out to be the best player in this draft class, then as long as you're the owner, your job's safe. Everybody else, you got to look out. So I just always feel you got to take the best player that's there, and he just may be the best player that's there.
Carson, God bless you and your family, man. Thank you so much. Have an awesome time in Maui or Lanai.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks, folks. Watch that. Keep an eye on my bracket. I think I might be out in round one.
We'll do that.
Yeah, we're pretty confident of that happening without a doubt. Okay, tell Shaylin hi and thanks too, because I know she just put up with it as well. We appreciate it. There's Carson Palmer joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti for your next new or pre-owned car.
You're out of here.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
What you got, Maloney? You got to pod that thing up. It's not that you fixed it
No. It's all the way up.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that ASU will upset Buffalo on Friday? 32% say 5 to 6, 21% 3 to 4, 19% 7 to 8, 16% 1 to 2, 13% 9 to 10.
If I'm assuming 5 is the middle of confidence, it's got to be a 5. I mean, it's ASU. I look at this bracket and I say there are 3 teams, maybe 5 teams, that would beat ASU if ASU's playing as good as they can. And I look at this bracket and I say there are about 57 teams that would beat ASU if they're playing as bad as they can. So how do you have any confidence? I think they're going to beat Buffalo, but I don't have confidence in it.
Honestly, when I think of how they played yesterday, I don't think they played well. That means the next game, they are going to play well.
That could be true.
I say they beat the Bulls.
All I know is Ohio State and Villanova aren't going to be in the Final Four, Carson Palmer. That's what I know. Coming up next, Paul's Call on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. Stop into one of their 20 Valley locations or online at brooklynbetting.com. Brooklyn Betting, helping you sleep better.
Hey, it's your call, man.
Carson used to wear dresses. Of course he's wearing the Speedo.
Hey, nitwits.
Speedo's nothing.
It's Paul's Call.
I'm looking out this window at the sales department right now. There's Hanrahan, and I'm asking myself,
March Madness and worker productivity, can they coexist?
Good question, and we answer your question, buddy, with a question eloquently posed by a former president.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
Because studies say
nearly a quarter of professionals plan to watch some portion of the tournament during work hours.
And that doesn't sound very professional.
76% of the men in those offices will participate in pools, 65% of women. And that's down a little from last year.
And what does that cost employers?
Even as a team-building event, studies suggest March Madness will cost American productivity $6.1 billion this year.
I mean, we're talking Mike Trout money.
Oh, holy cheese and crackers.
So, no wonder that now
the office poll suggests that bosses may be putting the kibosh on March Madness.
Oh, this is a recent trend. The boss man might bum rush you today, Doug.
Now, are you going to go ahead and have those TPS reports for us this afternoon?
This door at 9:58.
Just tell them, get off me!
Back off with your judgment.
This year over here, guess what, guys? You're in trouble. I've got a ringer.
Kennesaw State University statistics lecturer Mike Frankel has a system.
Stats professor. He's armed and ready. I mean,
oh, good for you.
He's an expert.
I am an expert.
Well, forget your BPI. Dude's got a system.
I'll just pick numbers.
The numbers he's talking about are the records of each team in tournaments past, as well as their current rankings going into March Madness.
Okay, what?
So pathetic.
Your system is the team's win-loss record?
Because historically, ones and twos have won more tournaments than almost every other seed combined.
And you're calling that a system?
Dude.
A team's record in seeding?
And he generally goes with the top seeds.
Okay. That obviously will skew the odds a little more in your favor.
Yeah, okay. Does your so-called system, does it work?
Survey said
no!
So he wins big with the system, right? Well,
I have not had great results.
You don't have a system, buddy! If you want a system, we'll loan you the sawed-off shotgun of sports. Sports takes and your $10 in every direction.
Did you fill out your brackets? The NCAA tournament.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
This is a chance for college basketball fans to lose $10 as slowly as humanly possible.
Turns out I already lost. Music, please!
What?
No, Paul.
You picked St. John's?
My buddy texted me last night. I picked ASU. He's in Vegas.
Okay.
He goes, I'm going to the sports book. He goes, I'll put a grand down for you. I say, just stop it.
Ain't number 10
no.
grand.
No.
What's 10 grand to me?
I go, put a few dollars on it. You know what I'm talking about? Put a few dollars. You know, don't mind if I do.
Yeah, right, Paul.
And I take ASU. They were a dog. I got +2 in ASU.
Okay.
So, Viva! I win, right? Until after the game, I text him, and my buddy responds that they never made it to the window.
Fishy.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm guessing my buddies are probably still at the clubs making it rain in Vegas.
Fishy.
On my cash. So in addition to sending my paisans up there to break a few thumbs,
the next time I have to come in here, I'm cracking skulls.
Heretofore and henceforth, my buddies, they are dead to me.
You're nothing to me now. You're not a brother. You're not a friend. Yeah. I don't want to know you or what you do.
I say you're liable for that cash. If you tell someone you're placing the bet and then they win,
you
know what I mean? That sleeps.
Usually do that with Dom on the corner, Paul.
Keep the music rolling, please, because the key to beating Buffalo now
next
is don't get beat by one guy.
Go Ed Malloy!
There's one official who tried last night, really tried.
Cherry shoots another three, made it, but no. Michael Greenstein calls an offensive foul on Romello White.
This Pac-12 official, was he getting paid by the whistle?
Greenstein has made all the calls against the Sun Devils. Is your lead guy, but Mello, if you're that one.
Oh, now Greenstein just teed up Bobby Hurley. You got to be kidding me.
Because it can always get worse. It did. Over and over.
Brutal!
You thought with ASU out of Pac-12 play, hey, man, we don't have to worry about pathetic Pac-12 officiating.
Squirrel!
Right. And Wolf, you'd be wrong. The Devils went down to Dayton and still got hosed by this Pac-12 official.
Wow.
Michael Greenstein, for no reason, Hurley just stood up and wanted to know about that last call. And Greenstein, at the opposite end of the floor, tees up Bobby Hurley.
I had no idea.
Being a little sensitive there.
I had no idea that guy was a Pac-12 ref.
Greenstein is a red light for ASU hoops, apparently.
That's tough. You take away a Tayshaun Cherry three, you give him two free throws, and the ball, and that, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't care what he said, unless he said a couple magic words. Come on, you got to be a little bit thicker skin than that.
So, we can rant all day.
I mean, come on!
ASU ain't winning again if they get this official again.
Hey, you miss a couple calls. Don't get so sensitive. That's tough. That's a tough technical, especially on a guy from your league. Not that you should be getting favoritism or anything, but... Yeah.
Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe he's going over.
Yeah, that's
maybe
exactly what
he's going overboard, right? And that's
no
just
doubt,
just as inept.
Bobby Hurley heading off the floor, furious with that call. Boy, what a cheap technical foul that appeared to be on Hurley, issued by Pac-12 official Michael Greenstein.
So the Pac-12 officials, even in the NCAA tourney, they still sleep.
That's a great breakdown, Paul.
By the way, Seth Davis took a dig at Bobby Hurley at halftime?
Hit me with your best shot.
All I know is somebody quoted him, the media quoted him as saying, Bobby Hurley, and he knows this, is a marked man, said Seth Davis. For him to be up 15 points in the NCAA tournament and get a technical foul at the end of the first half, it's just bad coaching. End quote, Seth Davis. On True TV. And if you look at his Twitter account, if you go back to about March 9th, there was something that happened during a game, and Seth Davis tweeted out, Bobby Hurley should just coach his team.
I was like, really? Really? Really?
Seth Davis with a bit of an agenda, apparently.
I see, Paulie.
Hmm. We got to hit this.
And now,
no.
Mandatory.
Murray. Joel Klatt, College Football Network analyst for Fox, asked at OU's Pro Day.
A lot of people doubting Kyler. What have you seen in him that you think he can play at the next level?
Well, he's a playmaker, first of all. I mean, I saw the plays that he made. I see the reads that he makes. He's not a runner first. He runs when he has to.
For more ding,
he moves to get himself into a position where he can still throw the ball down the field. I think as a dual threat, if you want to call him
that,
he's the best passing dual threat that I've seen maybe ever coming out of college.
Doug, are you listening? Best passing dual threat ever, says Joel Klatt.
Mandatory.
Murray. Do continue.
And he's also one of the most dynamic runners. When you look at his yards per carry as a runner, it's better than Michael Vick and Lamar Jackson and Vince Young. I mean, you can go down the list. He's as dynamic as I've ever seen.
Paulie, who's Joel Klatt?
The network analyst, college football on Fox.
Wow.
The future of football, he says, bottom line.
This guy is a winner. He constantly puts his team in a position to win football games, and that's why I would take him.
I was listening, but Yale just took up a stupid three.
And that was another edition of Mandatory.
Murray. Last ball's gone.
Thank you, Paul.
You really don't know Joel Klatt?
No.
How did the show make you feel?
Former Big 12
Doug and Wolf's.
Exactly why I don't know.
He's network, Wolf.
The U. Brought to you by Carol Royce. If you want to learn how to sell your house for top dollar, go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is, Yale, if you don't want to be here, then just let somebody else come. I mean, what are you doing?
We say take Wolf's name off his sheet and the bracket boss and just put the letters BPI because Wolf has just caved. It's really not his. It's just BPI.
Carson Palmer walking around Maui, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, the people from Europe are out there as well.
Stop.
We all know what that
means. At least they're not saving deck chairs.
Ace and strike.
Go Yale.